Now here is something that is important, which we call the fulfillment, point number three, the fulfillment ministry of Jesus and the apostles. This is not just some academic study. This is something that the Lord Jesus Christ was involved in and emphasized it. Jesus and the apostle Paul. Let's look at these references, which we have just read. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 verses 44 and 45. I wonder if we can remember what we read just a few minutes ago. Well, let's read it again. Let's read it again. Hear the Lord ministering to the disciples. Slow of heart, very slow. We've heard of slow learners, haven't we? The disciples and the apostles were slow learners at times. Slow learners. Let's read those verses again. Then he said to them, verse 25, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's a Bible study I'm very envious to attend. We'd love to have been in that Bible study. The Lord Jesus Christ doing the exposition of his ministry. How important it was for his people to understand the progressive movement of God. And they were slowly beginning to realize what was unfolding. And of course we need to be in a similar position, that we have an idea of who we are and why we are here and where we are going. What's going on? What's going on? I remember going to a chapel in Newcastle many years ago and, hello, Israel's collapsing. I've got a beautiful picture of Jerusalem in my study. And I went into the study last week, and the beautiful picture of Jerusalem had fallen off the wall. And I'd just been studying Revelation. Babylon is fallen. And I said, Jerusalem is falling. It'll never fall. Well, it will. Just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And then he delivers it. So here we go. Let's turn to the Apostle Paul now in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is developing these themes to his disciples. Other times he did not. Other times he discouraged an openness of his messianship. He wanted God to reveal himself to these people inwardly before they got caught up with a theocratic program of making him a king. So here in Acts 17, 2 and 3, I would have loved to have accompanied the Apostle Paul on his ministry. We have the outline of his life in Acts. We have his writings and his epistle. And I think we can get his emphasis in ministry. Apart from the cities mentioned here in 17:1, it says in verse 2, then Paul, as his custom was, Acts 17:2, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the scriptures, that is the Old Testament scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ, that is the Messiah, had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That was one of the emphases of the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Christ and the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, fulfilling those promises. You see that there? That's something that's needed in our ministry. And then our point that we want to emphasize for this Saturday, number three, the word fulfilled in the book of Matthew. And I'm taking the King James Version here, please. If you have the NIV, you will find that there's a different rendering in some of these words. But here are the basic words. Here are the basic statements. So here are 16 of them throughout Matthew. This was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet so-and-so saying. Now that occurs 16 times in Matthew. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew and get a blessing, praise the Lord, whatever it is, whatever's the blessing. But if you read the Gospel of Matthew and you miss this point, you have missed Matthew's argument. His argument. To show that the Lord Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. This is why he begins with his apparently very uninteresting and very dry genealogy. Okay? You know, I have a little bit to do with literature, and one of the chief things in literature they say, if you can't grab your reader in the first page or second page, you've lost them. Same with a movie. Someone told me about a movie they watched. You know what happens in a movie? Oh, spectacular things happen at the beginning to get you. So someone told me that in the first 10 movements of a movie, they saw 14 people shot dead and 3 women raped in the first 10 minutes. They got their attention all right. And here we have Matthew going through this long list of names. Does anyone know how the Gospel of Matthew starts? Matthew 1:1. Oh, no, first of all, how does the Bible start? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Old Testament starts. 110 out of 100. Very good. How does the New Testament start? Don't look. We'll confer on you a Doctor of Divinity at Western Sydney Bible School, which we can't do. So if we do give it to you, rip it up and put it in the garbage. Yes, this is the record. This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, is there? David, thank you. He knows. Son of Abraham, son of David. Give me some dates for that. Son of Abraham, how far back in the Old Testament? Give me a date, a round figure. 2000 BC. Son of David, 1000 BC. What on earth? I don't have that on my birth certificate or in my family tree. You've got to go to ancestry.com to find out that. And we can only go back to the 1700s. And some people searching out their genealogies, they know, oh, I'm a descendant of a convict. They love it. That's the end thing. So here, he says, here's his genealogy. Son of Abraham, son of David. And then the names start. Why? Someone tell me quickly, in 5 sentences. Why all these names? Anyone? No, the speaker's not allowed. Sorry, he's Kevin's keen. Yes, Mark. Aye, good. Prove his lineage is going back to David, and then also Abraham. Why? I mean, why should I be interested? I want to hear about his miracles. They were all kings under God, yes? We're getting closer. Aye, good. A promise coming one. A promise coming one to bring deliverance and to fulfill all the covenants. Why did Jesus come into the world? Give me a verse, please. Why did he come into the world? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What about this one? Let's turn to Romans. The book of Romans, please. Let's turn to the end of the book of Romans. I haven't got this in my notes. Yes, here we go. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. Help me here, what's the circumcision? The Jewish people, yes. The circumcision, yes. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, made to the fathers.